3, 2, 1.
Welcome to Exfabula!
True personal story.
Exfabula is a Milwaukee nonprofit committed to strengthening community bonds through the art of storytelling.
And of course, that means it's time for another edition of Exfabula Radio on Lake Effect Weekend. I'm Rachel Owens in the studio again with Leah Delaney, Exfabula co-founder. Hello.
Hello, hello, hello.
So, enjoying summer? Is it going by too fast?
Oh, of course it is, but I'm enjoying it. So, per usual, I brought in a couple stories. This week's theme, a little bit different, not necessarily having anything to do with summer, but it is volunteerism. So I brought in a couple stories this week of a couple of our board members, because we're doing some major transitioning right now. A couple of our board members are stepping down. Their efforts with volunteering for our organization has definitely not gone unnoticed. They've been incredible. One of them is one of our co-founders, actually, and the other being our board president, who's stepping down. So if anyone is interested in joining our board or volunteering at the front end at our Story Slam events or anything of that nature, they should definitely go to exfabula.org/volunteer to learn more about the opportunities that we have. We're going into our ninth year.
Wow, so, that's incredible. Yeah. And also, that's quite the changing of the guard. That's got to be pretty emotional.
It is, most definitely. I mean, there have been such great touchstones to the organization. But we're also garnering some really great, fresh talent who's really hungry and they believe in the mission. And we're going to definitely start out the gates running.
Well, it's great to hear their voices then. So let's dive right into it.
Okay, great. So we are going to start in with our first story. It's from Bob Pothier. He is our board president who is stepping down this season. So let's listen to his story, which was told at a Terminal Milwaukee event, which I know we spoke about before in the past. The theme is Barbershop, which took place at Satin Wave over on 64th and Fond du Lac. So let's listen to Bob Pothier's story.
This is about a barbershop as far away as you can possibly imagine. I spent 2 years in my early 20s in Western Samoa in a Peace Corps type assignment. And I lived there for 2 years. And when you're out there, you're very remote, and the villages out there are very remote, and Samoa is considered a fourth world country, not even a third world country, because they don't have much of an economy of anything. Most of their income is from money sent from relatives abroad into the country. And I did speak Samoan, so I'll give you a little Samoan. Ote fafte atoi yateoi monene lalo langi matingofie. I did speak Samoan while I was there. And you get kind of accustomed to the customs there, and you just try and integrate. Well, for the first part, I spent many months out in the bush, just away from any type of civilization. I was in an island called Upolu, and that is, the main city is Apia. But Apia was quite a ways from us, and there was very limited transportation, and I spent months away from ever getting into Apia. So you relied on haircuts from people in the village who had scissors. And actually, that was fine while I was in the village because you didn't really have mirrors and you didn't pay a lot of attention to what you look like there. But on one particular transfer, I was coming through Apia and one of the guys grabbed me and said, "Let's go get our haircut. You really need a haircut." We went and we went into this barbershop in Apia. And Apia is the capital of Samoa. And we go in and there are three guys there. There are two Samoans, big guys, and a Chinese guy. And there are these three chairs. And the way it works is you come in, you sit down, and they basically just kind of do their thing, and then they point to you, and you come up. And the guy I'm with is, we're the only two white guys in the entire place, all Polynesian. You have to also understand how Polynesian hair is. Very tight, very curly, very close to the head. And basically the barbers, all they're doing is if it sticks out, it gets cut. And they're just trying to smooth things over for the most part. The two Samoans had razors and the Chinese guy had a comb and a razor. And the guy I was with said, "I've been here before, you want the Chinese guy." And so you're just kind of poised and you're staring and you're just, I remember sitting there like begging, because I see what they're doing to the other people and I just think, this isn't going to work if I don't get him. And you're not, you don't argue with these guys because they kind of just point and look at you. And sure enough, guy ends with the Samoan guy and he looks at me. And now I'm trying to look away and not be involved. And he points to me and he knows I know. And I know he knows I know. And so I get up and I sit down in the chair. And it doesn't take very long because he's really just kind of quickly taking the razor over your head, wherever he thinks something's sticking out that shouldn't be there. He thinks it's smoothing over to the point that he's just kind of pushing things down. They were cutting, and there was kind of a push-cut aspect of this whole cut. I got done. I turned to him, asked him how much it costs. It costs $2 tala, which is $2 to us, but the equivalent was probably about 40 to 45 cents. And I figured I probably just got my money's worth at this barbershop. Thank you.
And that was Bob Pothier's story, which was told at Satin Wave, which is a barbershop over on 64th and Fond du Lac, during our Terminal Milwaukee series.
And I have to say, that haircut couldn't have been any worse than when I actually cut my own hair when I was about 20. Bad idea. Bad idea.
We're going to air some pictures online at WWM.org, right? that...
I don't think any pictures exist, coincidentally, so that may have been on purpose.
If you're just joining us right now, we are talking about volunteerism. That's our theme for Exfabula Radio today. And if you are interested in becoming a volunteer, definitely head to our website. If you're not ready to volunteer, there are other ways you can assist this marvelous foundation. You can become a member. And it's another great way to show your support while getting some great benefits. So if you're interested in, like, going to events for free and, like, fabulous, ex-fabulous swag, please go check out the membership program that we have. We have many levels, and I'm sure we'll find one that is suited just for you.
So we're doing quite the globetrotting today, actually. So yeah. We just went to Samoa, and next we're going to head to Tanzania?
Yes, we are. Adam Weiss, he told a story at a gorilla story slam, which is something a little bit different, way back in the day in 2011, when the theme was comfort food. So Adam Weiss, just a little special shout out about him. He's one of the co-founders, one of the OGs, as it were, who started out with the rest of us, you know, started this organization from the ground up. So obviously special thanks to him, and he will be greatly missed. So with that being said, let's listen to Adam Weiss's story.
I used to live in Dar es Salaam, Tanzania, and when I was there, I was working on this project called House of Blue Hope, which is a nonprofit for kids that are in really bad situations, such as street children or kids that have no chance at a better life. We take them into our house, and we provide them with education, food, and just a lifestyle change so that they have a chance to go on for a better future. Oftentimes, I'd be walking down the streets of Dar es Salaam, and people would stop me because I was white, and I had really long blonde hair at the time, and I was white. So people just want to come and talk to you and just find out about your life. And they're just generally really friendly and open and willing to learn and just inquisitive about you. So when some guy tapped me on my shoulder and was actually taller than me, I was shocked. And he also just wanted to talk about my life and who I was. But then it turns out he's a teacher who had started his own project. And I was like, he's like, well, why don't you come and see and maybe you can become a part of it? Or I was like, God, this guy is scamming me. Because after a while, you get really hesitant about people. Oh, let me just get a little bit of money for this or that. And you want to help, but you have to be hesitant and at the same time controlled. So I ended up talking to him, and we'd exchange SMSs occasionally, and I went and visited him. Turned out his name was Fred Enoch, and he was about 45. He and his wife both had master's degrees in Tanzania, which is pretty rare. They had quit their jobs as school teachers to start their own school of kids that were just running around their neighborhood doing nothing with their lives. And started with palm frond hut that got blown down in a hurricane of sorts. And then they rebuilt it and it got blown down again. They rebuilt it and it got blown down again. And then 3 years later, when I had met him, he went from 3 kids to 33 kids. And he was just doing this very hand-to-mouth, didn't really know what to do next, didn't really understand budgets or how to fundraise. So we would talk occasionally, and one day I decided that it would be a good idea for our two organizations to meet. Because House of Blue Hope was kind of like his organization, but just a couple of years later. And I organized this big food gathering dinner, which took place throughout the whole day. And we had a lot of the things that Amy talked about. We also had something called nyame, is how it's pronounced. It's actually cow intestine that they cut up, and then they take it with eaten with banana soup. But Tanzanians seemed to love it, so it was a really big hit. And as people came, everyone was very hesitant to talk to one another, and the groups were very segregated. It was like a seventh grade high school dance. The boys were on this side, and the girls were on this side, and occasionally people would come together, and then they'd speck off again. But after a while, the food came, and we sort of mixed up where people were sitting, and eventually people started talking. And I think by the end of the day, all these little kids had come from outside, and many of them had never actually even left their neighborhood. So this is the first time of them being outside of their neighborhood. Even though our neighborhood wasn't particularly nice or anything, it was exciting for them. And the boys would help the little girls and the little boys. And people started bonding over the food. And I think as the day went on, with things like ugali, which is this paste that is like, yeah, it's like this white cornmeal starch that sits in your stomach, just like a huge lump. But again, Tanzanians love it. And everyone came together, ate together, and by the end of the day, we had an idea to start taking kids from their project. When they had graduated to a certain age and they had nowhere to go, they came to our project. And over years, we've stayed in touch, and that's what's going on. Now, they kind of run a certain center for a few years, and then the kids come from their center to our center. And what came as something, as an idea of just a lot of people sitting around eating awkwardly, turned into two nonprofits working together and perhaps maybe one day being the same nonprofit. And I think literally changing kids' lives for the better through what was just one simple meal. So when I go back to Tanzania in a few weeks, what I'm going to do is go back to them, try to organize another meal, and we'll see how we can go forward, and hopefully we can create something similar through a shared experience, through a shared meal. And it's almost difficult to describe what happened that day, and hopefully we can have something like that happen again. Thanks.
And that was Adam Weiss, who is a co-founder who is stepping down this season.
Oh, that's so great to hear his voice, though. I don't feel like we've heard him yet. Is that right?
Yeah, that is true. You know, but I think people can believe in the mission of storytelling and not necessarily want to get in front of a microphone. So
how appropriate then. Really glad that he took that step.
Yeah, he's a silent voice. Until then. Again, we have so many great opportunities. We're going to have another volunteer orientation coming up later this summer, early September. So you might want to keep an eye out for that. Otherwise, go to exfabula.org to find out all of our volunteer opportunities as well as membership. We got a lot going on. It's coming up soon, too.
Yeah, you don't really slow down in the summertime, do you?
No, we don't. It's not summer break.
It's been so great hearing more stories. And yes, farewell and thanks to the departing members. So it's been great to hear their voices and great to have you as always in the studio. Thank you, Leah.
Thanks so much, Rachel.